Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now hear this. The Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland provides free home energy upgrades to homeowners who get certain social welfare payments. Now these upgrades are under the Warmer Home scheme. They can help improve the energy efficiency and the warmth of a home. There are long lead-in times though. The process can be a little bit tricky to navigate, so we have Ciarán Byrne with us, Director of the National Retrofit with the SEAI. He's here in the studio to talk us through everything from eligibility to the application and beyond. You're very welcome. Thank you very much for being here. Who is eligible for this?
Well, thanks, Claire, and good morning to you and to all of your listeners. Who's eligible for this are, first of all, and to call it out now, have your pens ready, people who own and live in their own home. So the home itself must have been built and occupied before 2006.
Okay.
They're the first piece. And then you must qualify for one of seven eligibility criteria. Now, I'll run to them now, but they are freely available on our website and citizens' information and whatnot. First and foremost is a fuel allowance. Now, be clear, you must only qualify for one of these, not two or three, just one. If you qualify for one of any of these allowances and the home criteria, you qualify for the Warmer Home Scheme. So the first one is a fuel allowance. The second one is the job seeker's allowance for anybody over 6 months and have a child under 7 years of age. The third qualifying criteria is the working family payment. The fourth is the one parent family payment. The fifth is the domiciliary care allowance. The sixth is the carer allowance and live with the person you're caring for. That's quite important. And seventh is disability allowance for over 6 months and have a child under 7 years of age.
So any of those?
Any of those.
Not all of them.
Any of those.
And you're eligible for this scheme.
And you own and occupy your home and it was built before 2006.
Okay, so what do you get?
So what you get is you get a survey. First of all, you get, if you don't have it in place, a building energy rating, so many homes don't, we will do a full pre-BER. In other words, we'll go down and assess your homes, the energy performance of your home starting off. So the pre-BER rating, so we get a BER. We will then send out a technical surveyor to your home and they will do a full energy survey of your home. Now, it's not a structural survey, anything like that. It's an energy survey of your home and they'll identify what works might be appropriate for your particular home. And they'll make recommendations on the same. And that's a survey against a very strict set of criteria. And they'll look at what you get in your home. They'll make recommendations in relation to what should happen to your home to improve the energy performance of your home. We will then take that and we'll allocate that survey to a contractor. And the contractor, we do a little bit of, potentially sometimes can be variations between contractor doing things in the survey. We will clarify that and the survey will come and do, the contractor will do their own survey, validation survey, and go off and deliver the works.
So the type of work that might be done under the scheme then?
Yeah. Typically it's about insulation works. We do cavity insulation, attic insulation, roof insulation. We will also do the external wrap. We will also in certain cases change and look at the heating system and in certain cases we also replace windows as well. Mm-hmm. So it's really about the energy performance of the home.
So how much are you saying that this work might cost, or on average how much work are people getting to the monetary value of it?
Well, the monetary value of the work on average across the entire programme last year was about €25,000. Where we ended up doing what we call a deeper retrofit and replacing a heating system, the average cost went up around €40,000. And a key point to note, Claire, is that the scheme is devolving, evolving, I should say. And the average spend, for example, in 2013 was about €1,800. The average spend as recently as 2017 was about €3,500. And we're up at about €25,000 at the moment.
So it all sounds great. But we have this long lead-in time and the waiting time, which we need to discuss, because that is a problem for many people. Well, we should let people know that that is an issue, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So talk to me about the application goes in.
The application goes in.
And how long does it take then to get the BER assessment done?
Approximately 10. We say about 10 because it depends. At the moment, around half the applications we get already have a pre-BER done. So the figure we use is approximately 10 months to get to the survey point, first major checkpoint on the process.
Okay.
About 10 months. And then at this moment in time, the site climbs about 20, 21 months in terms from application to completion. But that's a really movable figure. So for example, in January alone, we got 1,600 applications. In February, we've got 1,400 applications. So we're doing completions out the other end. So it's a very dynamic figure. And as you get effectively a bubble of applications coming in, it drags out the cycle.
So just to look at it again, you get the application in, it could be 10 months before you have your assessment done. It could be another 10 months then before the work is done. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're looking at coming up on 2 years. Yeah. Is there any sign that that might be improving?
Well, There is. Well, in terms of the waiting list, it is getting longer because more applications.
More applications are coming in.
Quite simply.
But are you getting more contractors, more assessors on board?
Yeah, what we've done in that regard is late last year we went to a public procurement. Now, this is kind of technical speak for your listeners, but we procured the service of contractors.
Yeah.
So we had an 800 million euro procurement and we had opened out into the market. And to a large degree, we have a significant body of contractors who are very experienced in this work and they're scaling up. And in fairness, I obviously push them quite a lot. And we've done a lot of things on the contractor side to make their lives better and easier, that we can speed up the programme. Mm. But simply put is you've got a huge demand on the programme, massive increase in applications. For example, in 2021, we had about 2,500 applications. By 2022, we had nearly 10,000 applications.
Right.
So you can see that step up.
Okay, so, and just to make it clear, people are not paying for this themselves and claiming it back.
No.
This is all fully funded from the get-go.
There is no cost whatsoever to the homeowner.
Okay, let's get to our questions now, Ciarán, because plenty of them coming in. This one, how long will it take for my grant to come through? So I've been approved for the warmer home upgrade. I had a chap out doing the BER in my home 10 months ago, but nothing since then. I made inquiries. I was told it would be 14 months to have a follow-up engineer come out and approve what has to be done. Why does it take so long? Well, you know, that kind of fits the timeline we were talking about, right?
It does. And just to clarify that question, there's no grant coming through. The homeowner in question will have to do nothing. We will do all of the work. There's no payments. The only thing they have to sign various pieces of paperwork and give PPS numbers and whatnot. There's no payment, no grant to be received.
Mm-hmm. Do you have to be a resident in the house to qualify? So does the homeowner have to be resident in the house, or is it possible that a relative, for example, a son who lives in that house, can apply for the grant?
No, you must be resident in the house. The grantee must be resident and own the house.
Mm-hmm. But can someone apply on behalf of a resident and be the contact for that resident?
Well, the resident who qualifies must be living in the house. So,
yeah.
For example, on a domiciliary care allowance or alternate carer's allowance, they're resident in the house.
Yeah,
but you wouldn't have a situation if somebody lives in the house and maybe the qualifying person lives somewhere else.
But on the form, say if you apply online, somebody can fill in that form on behalf of the owner who is the resident and become the contact for the scheme.
Yeah, okay.
Now, this listener, this is Rose, who lives and is retired in a Victorian house. Over the years, I've almost fully completed dry lining on the outside walls. I applied for the grant to insulate the attic. Because there is a stairs up to my attic, I've been refused. It's a small roof. It's not a big job. I'm so disappointed. I've been referred for other grants. Why am I not qualifying for the warmer homes grant? Can you answer that one?
Well, there's kind of a mixture of things in there, Claire, at the moment. It's not entirely clear to me that the lady in question actually qualifies for the warmer homes. So the first and foremost question is, does she qualify for the warmer homes scheme?
Yeah.
There are other grant schemes which we'll keep separate from this for the moment. But also just two other points kind of, I suppose, come to my attention. One is a Victorian house. And a Victorian house is an older house. And you're into a really interesting question. At the moment, for older houses, we don't treat them under the warmer home scheme because the building physics of those houses is quite different than what we build at the moment. And the kind of insulation materials you would use on an older house are fundamentally different than the ones we'd use at the present point in time. And we don't have certification for them. So in that kind of a Victorian house, you have to be very careful what insulation you use or don't use, because some of those older houses that would be breathable. And if you put non-permeable insulation on it and it's a breathable house, you can have problems. And the problems won't manifest themselves today or tomorrow. They'll manifest themselves in many years down the line. The other point then is relations. You're talking about going into what we call an attic in a room or a dormer style room, and they're extraordinarily difficult to insulate because effectively what you're doing is taking away the walls of the room, which is the roof in this case, try and back insulate them. So they're very complex jobs to do.
Mm-hmm. In general, is it very disruptive work? Because I'm sure there are lots of people listening who might be interested but say, I don't want to be, you know, have the house turned upside down.
Not hugely. Like, for example, if you're doing external wrap insulation, pretty much all of that is done on the outside. But you have to suppose, you have to bear that and line that up against the kind of core to people that we're typically working with. So disruptive to you or me, Claire, maybe not disruptive to you or me, but it could be very disruptive to somebody who's maybe in their 70s or 80s or medical conditions, whatnot. Mm-hmm. However, I would say we have a panel of contractors we work with, and they're extraordinarily good at dealing with vulnerable homes. So this, while we're a subset of the building market or the building sector, we're not going into, you know, like a building a housing estate. We're actually, they're very used to dealing with vulnerable householders. So they really do it quite well.
Mm-hmm. And if they're putting on that external insulation, do they leave it nice? I mean, are they going to paint it afterwards? What's the finish?
It's absolutely brilliant. It actually, apart from the fact that it insulates the house, it actually refreshes the look of the house as well.
You're not going to do the bare minimum and walk away. It's going to look right afterwards, because that, you know, that's a concern for people. I'm sure it's been said to you.
not. Irish people and their homes, absolutely, we love our houses. It is, but no, they do a very professional job. And just in terms of that alone, the actual, what they do is they stick on, effectively stick on the insulation, but they also render it on the outside and paint and things like that. So it looks really, really okay. Well done.
Another one from Emma. My parents are in their 80s and live in a private home. The state pension is their only income. The house was built in the early 80s. It has gas central heating, double glazed windows fitted in the 90s. Nothing else has been done with the house since then. And Emma would like to know if they would be entitled to any of those benefits.
Yeah, that's a great question, Emma. And I go straight back to eligibility criteria. So once, if they've owned the house and they live in it since prior to 2006, that's fine. Get them to check, and she might know right off the bat, if they're qualifying for any of those allowances I talked about. If they do, then they qualify for the Warmer Home Scheme.
So you might be on the state pension, but you mightn't be getting the fuel allowance, in which case you wouldn't qualify, is that right?
That's right. If you qualify for the fuel allowance, you qualify for the scheme.
What about people who come to you or come to the contractor and say, no, I don't want those windows that you said you're going to install. I would like these ones from a particular supplier that I've identified that would look very nice in my house. What do you say then?
Well, we say, look, we try and work with people, but the fundamentals are that we had to procure the schemes. We've procured rate cards we're putting in works. It's a fully managed scheme, and you can imagine, Claire, we're balancing out going deeper and deeper in terms of the level of retrofit we do in a home and actually the level of output. So it's effectively a mass deployment scheme, so we don't really give those choices to people.
So someone might not like the windows that you're proposing, but they are expected to go with them?
Potentially, but I mean, sorry, the homeowner has primacy here. We're not going to do anything that the homeowner does not want to do.
Okay, so if they decide that they really don't like the windows, you're not going to force them to have them?
No.
Okay, a listener says, I'm a 68-year-old retiree in the Midlands area. I have a pension, so formerly worked for the HSE. I have an old council house. It's built over 70 years, open fire and oil, poor attic insulation. Am I entitled to help? You see, you'd need to be in receipt of one of those allowances there that we mentioned, right?
That's to get in the gate in terms of the eligibility, one of the allowances. Then we look at the home. And if you're talking about a 70-year-old council house or 70-year-plus council house, you're looking at the construction of that type of house and say, what can we do? And it's back to anything pre-1940 where you're talking about solid block walls, rubble walls and things like that. We don't treat them at this present point in time. Now, we do see, can we put other measures in place? But in terms of the insulation, we can't, because they're very specific requirements. And you have to be careful. And again, because the state is fully funding this from start to finish and taking responsibility for it, we have to make sure we put the right measures in place in the right homes.
Okay, Helen wants to know, what's the situation regarding the floors and the floorboards and the tiles if they need to be removed? Is the householder responsible for the replacement and repair of those?
No, the contractors come in, they do the works and they make good. So they leave them the way they found them. But just be very clear on that. That doesn't entail that we'll go and retile a 100 square foot kitchen when they're done. By and large, there's not that much removals required, because when you look at the insulation works, the three types of insulation, if you have cavities, they'll pump cavities, so the householder won't even see those and they'll make good in the holes. If you're doing the wrap, they'll generally leave the house in a better condition than it was in the first place. And to a lesser extent, sometimes they end up doing the internal one insulation and they'll make good on the internal.
Mm-hmm. What difference does it make to a house?
It's transformative, Claire. And I suppose you can imagine the position I'm in. We get an awful lot of, we get a lot of people ringing us with questions. But the odd time you get a real thing that hits you square between the eyes. We asked one gentleman about the transformation on the warm homes, and he said, it means I don't have to sleep with my coat on.
Oh my gosh. Right. Yeah. So that is a new home practically for that person.
Yeah. But you wouldn't see it. You're a radio host. But what we see is some of the homes down the country, and some of them really are in terrible state. Mm. And we know the benefits that retrofitting comes, not just in terms of the home, but in terms of the householder, the psychology, the benefits, the health. So to have that kind of transformative effect is very powerful.
The quality of life that you're leaving behind there. James is in Cork. He's on the fuel allowance, so he's in a good position. But he had some work done in 2011 with grant assistance, wall and attic insulation. And he's just wondering if he qualifies for this new scheme.
Well, the scheme isn't new, so that's good news.
So he may have qualified the last time.
He did qualify the last time, but the good news is in February 2022, we reopened the scheme to revisit for people who had work done prior to 2018. Because the scheme is evolving and we're getting deeper and deeper interventions, it's highly likely then. So James got his work done in 2011, which is before 2018, so he can qualify for a revisit.
Okay, that's a good question, which has just come in on text. in general for the SEAI, now we'll see if you can answer this, Ciarán. We were promised cheap loans for home retrofitting, weren't we? Now, this is for people who don't qualify under this scheme. This was a government promise, and this listener said it was promised in two budgets so far, but we haven't seen them. Do you know anything about that?
I do, but I'm not going to speak in great detail. I can tell you and tell your listener and a texter, they're imminent. The launch of the loan is imminent, and I would be delighted, and my colleagues would be delighted to come back in and talk to you after the loan's been launched and give you full detail.
We will hold you to that, don't worry. Yeah. So that's news that we have this morning, which we'll follow up on. And Mark says, what about people who are going out to work, paying their taxes, getting hit with various increases in the cost of living? Why can this sector not avail of the warmer heating scheme?
Yeah, look, Mark is making a really valid point. And look, we have, as you can appreciate, it's a scheme, it's a fully funded scheme. We can't do fully funded for everybody. But there is a cohort of people, and I would know many people like Mark who are working very, very hard. And we had a significant inflation in the construction sector, and we have a cost of living crisis. So cost and affordability is one of the biggest blockers to developing and getting out retrofits. We believe that the low-cost loan we just talked about is going to really help people like Mark.
Okay, Alice is in Connemara. My mum qualified for a full retrofit. The engineer came, surveyed, gave the house a B or of F. We got an energy surveyor then who told her there was nothing they could do. Cold, drafty, mouldy, 70s bungalow. The criteria are rigid. So what should she do next?
I think that's probably one of the homes that we couldn't treat in relation to this. Probably a dormer bungalow. And what we're looking at the moment is we're looking at different strands within the programme, because we have to try and we're trying to figure out how do we start developing pathways to treat those types of homes, but in a mass deployment.
So is there a problem with dormer bungalows then?
There is. To do it typically with the roof construction of the dormer, it's very difficult to insulate them.
And so you're trying to find a way to deal with them, is it?
But trying to find a way to deal with them in a way that you can deploy it massively. The big thing here, we're not a bespoke scheme. We've got 19,000 people on the waiting list, and we're trying to get through that as quickly as possible. And what you're trying to do is balance out the individual needs of a homeowner. We're trying to get more output through the scheme.
Okay, so someone like that would have to go to the bottom of the list again and apply.
If
a solution is found.
Well, if a solution is found.
Listen, we're just about out of time. We'll have to have you back again because all of the questions are coming in. Thank you very much, Ciarán Byrne, who is Director of National Retrofit.